Recorded live at Nightmare Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show, where two jamokes drink and rate craft beer while they chew the fat about the world of hard rock and heavy metal, followed up by one-on-one interviews with veterans and newcomers in the industry. I'm your official announcer, Joey Clams, and here to introduce themselves is tonight's special...
Hey guys, this is Rex.
I'm Zach,
and we are Uncured, and you have the right to rock.
Without further ado, here are two co-hosts who are so metal, they use aluminum foil for toilet paper. It's Genghis and Ragman.
Hey guys, this is Rex.
And I'm Zach.
And we are Uncured.
And you are listening to the Genghis and Ragman Show.
Horns up.
Yeah.
Guys, you're on live. I mean really live. We're at the House of Blues with a brand new band that's kicking my ass currently called Uncured. We got Rex and we got Zach. Guys, how's it going?
Good. We're happy to be here. House of Blues in Houston, Texas right now.
This is the second show of our tour with Cradle of Filth.
And currently Shattered Sun is direct support. But Ginger will be joining us in Florida.
So no Ginger tonight.
No Ginger tonight.
They had an issue with their visas getting out of Ukraine, so they're missing the first three shows.
Yeah, but yeah. We'll still have 17 more with them.
Okay, guys. Well, I got to tell you something right now. Genghis is a huge Ginger guy, so you got to kick major ass tonight so that you impress Genghis.
Is he going to be here tonight?
Yeah, he's joining us. His vagina was sick, and he got a little...
Okay.
I'm just joking. I bust balls. No, he had a previous engagement, so he wanted to be here. He's actually en route, but I wasn't going to make the time for the interview.
He'll come introduce himself. Love to meet him, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All that stuff. We'll make sure to say hi.
Yeah, after you guys rock our heads in, then we will come say hello.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about the band. You guys have been around since 2016, and I can't believe you're already on some major tours here. Well, Cradle of Filth tonight, and you played with lots of other bands. Kind of tell us the inception of the band and how long you've been. Well, you've been around 2 years, but you know, how did you catapult into a position to where you're opening up for Cradle?
Zach and I have been playing guitar together for years, about 7 years now. Maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
And we kind of consider the band's official forming last year when we got our. We were joined by our bassist John Keita and drummer Liam Manley. And our first show was March of last year.
Yeah.
So you know, that's kind of what we consider like the official kind of start of the band when we released our record Medusa. The first full-length record we've done. And as far as the inception of the band, it was, we just wanted to make progressive technical death metal, but make sure it grooves and try to incorporate other genres and expand what death metal means. And I guess you want to talk a little bit about our tour.
And our first tour was with Catatonia. We were invited by them because they needed an opening band from North America. And since we were a new band, they heard our music and invited us to join with them. So it was a very fortunate start for us, which then enabled us to get on the Devil Driver tour last summer as well. And then from there, it was very easy to get tours. So we were with Children of Bodom last November. We just finished tour with Soulfly, about 28 shows in Canada. And that ended a few days ago, and now we are here.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
We conveniently ended in Oklahoma City with Soulfly and then just drove right down to Dallas for yesterday's show.
Yeah.
Well, how did you guys get discovered? I know Mike Portnoy is a fan, and I know Max played on your EP.
Yeah.
So where's the Dream Theater or X-Dream Theater, Mike Portnoy connection with you guys?
It actually spawned through Max. For our first EP, which was released in 2016, we needed drums. And a drummer, obviously. So, we didn't want to use fake drums because we recorded to Superior Drummer, we called Max just out of, I guess, kind of randomly.
Yeah,
sent him our music. They liked it, and he played on the EP, and they've been, they were great working.
We're
with
good
him.
Friends with their family now as
yeah.
well. So we've.
Awesome.
Yeah. We've been over there a few times, had dinner with them a lot, so it's a good, their family is very nice, so
yeah.
It's glad to know them.
Well, you guys are younger guys, so I'm just kind of curious, being an older school guy, what are your influences? How did you guys get into this more extreme genre, more than, say, do something different a little bit, whatever genre of music? But I mean, this is pretty heavy, and you guys are on a lot of cool tours with guys that probably influenced you. So,
yeah.
Kind of, what's your origins as far as influences?
I think the band's collective favorite band is Opeth, but apart from that, we all have like personal favorites. My favorite band to listen to, Whitechapel, probably. But it started at an earlier age where with bands like Mastodon, a little bit more accessible, And for you, what's
I always liked Soil Work a lot, as well as we like Dream Theater a lot, mostly for like all the guitar solos, things like that. And now I do like Trivium is one of my, like I like their new album a lot. It's we always do all harsh vocals, but their clean vocals are very good and great riffs, great solos and big grooves. So
I think. As far as what kind of was our main influences for Medusa was, some early Opeth and like Lamb of God, kind of those two mixed in with the other genres. But moving forward, we're probably going to continue on that same stream, but, add in more big breakdowns for inspired by Whitechapel and more catchy parts inspired by Trivium. But we still will remain technical or progressive death metal, At its core.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's very cool. That was one of my questions because the vocals are more gruff. With the influence of some of the more melodic, like a Soil Work or a Trivium, have you guys thought about maybe doing clean vocals? Maybe in the future.
Yes, and we are both developing our voices in that sense, but don't expect them on the next record.
It's a possibility for the future. We're going to keep developing our current style. Where it is now, maybe add cleans down the road as like a new element,
But we don't want to like become a different band by adding
yeah,
Queens.
We mostly want to get heavier and groovier as a band. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, don't turn into an In Flames, because they were so awesome. Then when Anders started singing clean, it's like, I want to go more pop or be more popular. I'm like, come on, you're killing me.
It rested in that direction pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah. And it killed me because the guitars and just the whole sound was so powerful. And then they moved this new direction. Now I kind of don't care anymore, which is, you know, a bummer.
They lost,
you know?
What Sounds of a Playground Fading, and then they came out with one after that.
No,
that
familiar.
Was the... I don't know the one after Sounds of Playground. I don't know.
My point exactly. No, okay. Well, I tell you what, let's jump into Medusa. And I got to say, what a brutal, a very, very cool record. I got to say, the song titles are very interesting. I was looking at the song titles like, I don't know how to pronounce some of the stuff.
Nucleate, maybe?
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you about that. And it's a great song. How did that song come together? And I do hear the Opethi type vibe in your music. I really dig that.
Oh, thank you. I can't remember what spawned that song, but I think it was the clean part of the song that was the main section.
So Nuclear was based off of the clean part. Let's start at the beginning. I think we wanted to have some super crazy fast guitar duel, it goes back and forth between him to me to both of us harmonizing together, and we just did that to show some technical aspects for the heck of it, and people seem to like that a lot.
Wanted to catch your attention.
Yeah,
with something.
It's like, whoa, what's that? And then all of a sudden, you're dropped into a nice, clean, relaxed part, little bass solo into his guitar solo, and then into actually a Soilwork-inspired verse.
Epitome.
Yeah.
Epitome, yeah. The song from
Panic Broadcast.
Panic Broadcast, the seventh song.
Seventh song.
Wow. Yeah, I remember. That was... when I first heard that song, I was like, damn, that's catchy. So we wanted to have something similar.
Oh, that's cool.
Lost.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how that song kind of came together. And enucleate means to remove one's eyeball.
It's like we had a lot of, in the Medusa metaphor, it's like you look at our eyes, you turn to stone.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things about sight vision on our album, like dilate, you know.
Yeah, that's the
myopic.
Primary motif.
And enucleate to rip out eyes, it's brutal. And it's just the lyrics of the song of like sort of it's some
brutal.
Revenge, like eye for eyes, you know.
Oh, I dig that. That's cool.
Yeah.
That's
too.
That's very cool. Well, another one I want to mention is Petrified. And that one's got this kind of weird 70s... porn kind of sounding guitar, and then there's some really badass like clean tone ripping in there. It's really, really tasteful.
Thank you.
I dig that a lot.
We actually when we play that one tonight. When we play that one live, the clean solo, we actually do on a different tone, so you'll hear how we like kind of
everything. We mixed a few things up a little structure wise, and in Petrified, it's not really a clean part; it's more of like a heavy part for live,
to keep the energy up, but still take it down a notch from the verses. So y'all play with the energy levels a little bit differently than on the record. Something we enjoy doing. When you've played the song a million times. You know.
Well, you know, another one is the I'm going to butcher this, the Stygian Valley. Stygian Pit?
Oh, Stygian Pit.
That is a killer instrumental. Very, very, very awesome.
Have you heard the 4-minute version with vocals?
No, no, I have not.
Oh, it's Stygian Valley.
Yeah, that's what we did.
So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So you're in for a treat tonight.
Yeah, we cut out some time, but it's the same song, like on premise, but we just removed some stuff, added vocals.
We did it mostly for radio play as well because we liked that song a lot, but we didn't. It was too long for radio, and we decided we wanted vocals on it, even though it was originally instrumental. So that's why it's like now it's like 4.5 vocals, still heavy, all the major riffs in it.
Yeah.
And
I guess tonight also we're gonna be playing a new song.
Last song.
Yeah, the last song. We may be releasing it as a single prior to our tour after this, but. It's not confirmed, so we can't really say anything about it.
Right, right.
About either.
No. Oh, no worries. I mean, really killer. I've been kind of really getting into it the last couple days nonstop. You can ask her. And she's like, I'm really starting to dig this, Dad. It's really cool. So, yeah, she hears metal all the time. But I really dig your sound, and I kind of get a Dream Theater with some of the breaks that you guys are doing, very technical, along with this Opeth. The Opeth's really what kind of drove me where with your sound and so forth. As far as you guys, when you're writing new material or just any material in general, how's it start? I mean, is there a riff? Are y'all like going off each other with different ideas, or do y'all sit together as a full band, or how does everything work within Uncured?
Songs tend to generate from one main riff, and then from there we progress it as far as like what we want the song to accomplish theoretically. So the new song that we're playing tonight, for example. We wanted that to be a pit song, like high energy level the whole time. A couple of sections to bring down the energy, so that you don't lose focus on the song. But actually, the main melody for that, the two main melodies for that song, we wrote after the song was completed. So even though people tend to think that's what you'd start with, but it sometimes we work. Backwards, sometimes we work forwards. We try to make song structures different across the board, and make the song sound differently. So the way that we approach each song tends to differ based on what we're trying to accomplish. You know?
Well, as far as new material, Medusa's been out for a year. in this day and age, I mean, it's still pretty new, but sounds like you guys are already writing for our next album. What's the plan? Are you going to tour and then hit the studio, or kind of what are y'all thinking?
We're planning a 2019 release, so maybe
early 2019.
March, April-ish.
February,
we'll be recording at the end of this year. Everything should be finished at the end of this year, and then we'll start the push for it online. And we're from there.
Yeah, we're going to be doing
and tour the hell out of that.
Yeah, there you go.
We're going to be doing a European festival run with Jimmy Josta this summer,
August,
playing Bloodstock, Hyperfest, a lot of stuff like that, then we're going to be doing one more North American Canadian tour to wrap up Medusa, and then go dark for a little bit, mm-hmm. and come out with a new one.
Nice. So my next question was, what's your tour plans from here? But it sounds like you probably got there. I do want to ask one last question. I know you guys got to go, but the video for the Opium Den.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's pretty intense, man. And I think your mom, who is on tour with you guys, helped direct that.
Mitch was more directing, but Holly had a say in it as well. You know?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like a group brainstorm. It's we had a song about the topic, and we thought we could help bring some awareness to it in with a cool video.
It's pretty intense.
Like an accurate video. It's not it's not like over the top like see in movies, but it's more like we consulted actual people who experienced it and helped make it very realistic.
Yeah, we didn't want to glorify or demonize it in any way, but just try to make an accurate representation, put it to some heavy music.
And like you said, it's a very intense video, and I really dug it. And you guys are playing, then you got the storyline going. So I always kind of wonder if bands really dig more the performance stuff, or do you guys kind of dig bringing in a little bit of a storyline and having actors and stuff like that?
I much prefer doing shots of the band.
Yeah.
Shots of the instruments, you know, stuff
it's
like that.
It's good to do the occasional story video for...
We've done a bunch of...
A little bit of that
kind of stuff, so we wanted to do something different.
Yeah. Last question. Guitar influences, and then we'll wrap this thing up.
Jeff Loomis, John Petrucci,
some Tosin Abasi.
There's plenty of others. I'm just trying to think of the top ones.
Yeah, it's mostly Jeff Loomis. He plays that guitar.
Even I would say like Michael Keane, you know, from the Faceless.
Yeah, then Michael Akerfeld, not for like so much shredding, but more of like
melodic
riffs.
Yeah, I get that.
And all the
clean
stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot, but those are the main ones.
Yeah.
Well, guys, thank you so much for your time. It's an honor to meet both of you. You give lots of hope to the metal future for me being an older guy, and I can't wait to see you perform live. Before we let you go, is there anything you would want to tell the fans out there?
Yeah, thank you guys for listening to this.
That's
thank
right.
you guys for checking out Uncured, and we hope that you come out to a show near you.
Yeah, feel free to check us out on YouTube or Spotify or Facebook, and we'd love to hear your comments, so feel free to leave them.
Rex, Zach, it was an honor to meet you both. And thanks for coming on the Genghis and Ragman show here on therightrock.com. I want to tell all the fans to go get Medusa out now on Seek and Strike Records. Guys, thanks for the time. Good luck tonight.
Yep.
Awesome meeting you both.
Very nice to meet you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Nice talk.
Bleeding from the
eye.
Ragman, and you've been listening to the Right to Rock podcast, and we appreciate you listening, and we want to give a big thank you to Tracy G, who is the third unofficial member of the group. We appreciate all of his work, especially the Broken Man song, which is the theme song to the Right to Rock podcast.
And also, we're going to give high props to our boys in Sonic X. Adam and Joseph have lent us 13 to finish the show, so what you're listening to right now is 13 by Sonic X. So check them out and keep checking us out. And horns up.